Hello and welcome from the Microsoft Store in Square One, Mississauga.
Square One.
Yeah, I'm here with Jonathan Rosenblatt and Anthony Bertolo. How are you guys?
Good.
Good?
Doing awesome. Doing awesome.
Awesome. So we have a special holiday edition for you, the best of 2015 and the upcoming of 2016. Are you excited, guys?
Very excited.
All right, awesome.
Well, I don't know. See, the thing is that there was so much in 2015 to go over. I don't know. 2016 is going to be a little bit of a difficult one to top off 2015, but...
All right, interesting. What about you guys?
I highly disagree. I think, you know what, 2015 was the tip of the iceberg of where we're going in terms of computing technology. How we're going to be enabled in 2016 is going to be so much more robust in terms of big data, analytics, enablement through IoT, through DevOps, through, it, you know, 2015 was just laying the foundation for that. 2016 is just literally going to blow the doors open.
All right, awesome. So what do you think was like a top highlight of 2015, or maybe a couple? Like, who wants to start first? I know you have a lot. You have a lot to say, but...
I'll do dev first.
Okay, let's do dev.
Okay, so on the dev side. So here's the thing. This is, you notice, I got notes in front just because there was such an extensive list. So hopefully I'll keep it to the minimum. First of all, actually, before we go dev IT pro, as we tend to do, you guys know me, obviously, on the dev side. You guys know Anthony on the IT pro side. Why don't we do just in general? Right, because we're standing and look at how convenient Windows 10 in the background. Right, so that worked both ways, both for developers, lots of opportunities there, which we'll get into, but also for IT pros. HoloLens, new phones, Surface Hub, Surface Book, IoT. What am I missing? Was there more? Band, hello.
Yeah.
Band.
Anthony's sporting his. I don't have mine yet. Mine's coming in the mail.
I'm hoping to get a Gen 2 soon.
It's fine. We'll get there. But yeah, so those ones were the overall ones. Did you want to add?
Do you want to add some highlights from
you know, from IT Pro World, you know, it was a big year in terms of Windows 10, right? You know, a lot of organizations stayed on Windows 7 because 8 for them was a little bit not corporate friendly. Let's put it that way, right? A little bit of a challenge with 8. So with 10, we've gone back to what's been familiar in terms of the start button, start menu. But more so in terms of addressing the fact that people want access to information anywhere. And how does an IT pro enable that securely? You know, Windows 10 really addressed a lot of that and actually took advantage of the fact that it has Hyper-V or virtualization capabilities embedded into the OS to enable what we call secure mode, which we'll talk about later.
All right.
Well, since he's already doing the Windows 10 thing, we're going to go on Windows 10.
The HoloLens and everything else.
Fair enough. Windows 10 developer, then. We got universal apps that came in, which to me was such a fascinating concept because we took this thing from Windows 8, again, to, like, it had to be a certain look. It, you know, it had to fit into this certain guideline to being way more open about it, way more accepting of various different screen sizes, devices, and so on, and really getting that look and feel across all the devices. So if there's one thing for me that I take away for Windows 10, other than obviously all of the additional features that as developers we have access to, a lot of it is for universal apps, right? And it's just how fascinating how now with that coming from the desktop to the phone to the tablet to regardless. I mean, let's just scoot back here for a second. Lacho, out of the picture. I'm going to kick him out of the picture for a second. Check this out. Lumia 950 XL right here running with the display dock right onto a screen. Like, and it's Windows 10. You wouldn't know any different, right? So it's just like, it's just little things like that. Okay, you can come back.
As we bring Lacho back, what's interesting about that is that, like I said, it's that whole aspect of people getting to information when they want it from whatever, you know, platform they're getting it from. You know, the whole aspect of Windows as a service, enabling that type of capability, enabling that secure access tied to an individual's identity. And I think that was a really big point in 2015, is the fact that ubiquitous computing is great and the fact that you can access information from anywhere, but it also had to be tied down to an individual to securely access that data, right? And the aspect of where we're at in terms of mobility now and the fact that you can access information from anywhere, it had to be more prevalent in terms of the security processes that we put in place. You know, a lot of IT pros lost a lot of sleep in 2015 because this whole aspect of ubiquitous access to data becomes a challenge. And so in invoking the capability of identity through Active Directory and Azure Active Directory natively being supported with Windows 10 and the platform, it's extended across phone, tablet, PC, Xbox, you know, even IoT, So we're even seeing IoT devices running Windows 10 natively, and then with the ingenuity of developers building solutions on top of that platform, we're now seeing that, you know, big data moment happening, which is going to propel us into 2016 in terms of what we're going to accomplish then.
All right. All right, awesome. You ready? Okay.
Okay, check your notes.
So we had some pretty big events happening in 2015, and there was a lot of talk about data, at Connect. What do you have to say about that? What was that to you? Like, what were the main highlights there, maybe?
Well, with Connect, I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff that came out with Connect. Firstly, different and updated MSDN subscriptions with a free option this time around. Cloud subscriptions for Visual Studio, which is going to rock the world for developers and make things more accessible. Visual Studio Online becoming Visual Studio. So now I get even confused. Visual Studio Team Services, with all that coming on board.
Visual Studio became a platform. Right? So the fact that, hey, bring us your MacBooks, bring us your Windows, you know, devices, you know, bring us whatever you feel comfortable on developing for, we'll enable it with Visual Studio Code and have that seamless interaction for developers to build, you know, their creativity into applications for whatever devices they want to develop for. And that whole aspect of the universal app extending beyond just the Windows reach. You know, I think that's going to happen more into 2016 in terms of whatever device you have. You know, you're used to using an iOS device, you're used to using an Android device, that's great. You know, obviously we hope there's a lot of Windows Phone users out there, or sorry, Windows 10 mobile users out there. I got to bring all my Windows mobile paraphernalia back. So we have that situation now where it's like, I want to just use and gain access to data, right? Not everybody drives a K car. Everybody wants to drive a car that they like to drive, right? Same thing with a smartphone, and same thing with a tablet. People want to use what they want to use. They don't want to be told what to use. So we're now in that enablement capability, and Visual Studio Code and Visual Studio Live was a huge proponent of that, right?
I was going to even get to code. You know, code with Windows options, Linux options, and what am I missing? Oh, obviously iOS options, Mac OS. Like, that, to me, is a foundational change in both Microsoft, obviously, but also how just developers go about doing their thing, right? So that was a big thing as well. The runtime, you know, becoming open source, but then also becoming available to run on Linux as well. Like, these are crazy things. Now, I'm going to go in a different direction. So we've been talking about apps all this time. What about the web, right? And you were talking about security as well and stuff like that, too. And a lot of that comes through with Windows 10, obviously, and Edge coming out, developers obviously have an interesting new opportunity to build to actual web standards. Lots of changes there with what we can do from a browser perspective, but more importantly, be able to go, cross devices again, right? Now, what does that do on the infrastructure side, having a secure browser like that?
So the whole enablement and tying into the identity piece, right? It's that seamless transition between what is on-prem, what is in cloud, what is on web, right? And the fact that if I have this authentication model that I can govern from one centralized window, right, I lose a lot less sleep at night. I know the fact that my end users are secure, that they're accessing the data that they're supposed to be accessing. There's no, you know, there's no such thing as 100%. We know that, right? But the fact that we've taken the due diligence to go forth and secure what we can secure, that what we know today in terms of security enablement. And it's continuously evolving. This whole aspect of as a service is a huge deal. It doesn't mean that you're waiting for the next service pack to address the security concern that comes up from time to time. It means that when that does become available, it's addressed right away. Very prevalent on the web, of course, and there's a lot of sites that have issues and have malicious intent. And the fact that we have an actual research department, and that's all they do, is they just make sure that the end users that are accessing sites through the Edge browser are secured, and to the degree of security that's required by the organization they work for or by the IT shop that's supporting them.
Awesome. I mean, it was indeed a year of releases. So Windows 10, Visual Studio, Code as well.
Azure.
Edge.
It was over 300 plus services released in 2015 alone, and they're talking about four times that in 2016. You know, and the whole aspect of Windows Server coming out next, right? What's interesting, if you look at the tea leaves right now, System Center is no longer branded by year. So System Center has gone as a service, right? So what does that say for server? Now, we don't know for sure. We do hear that it's Server 2016, This is, you know, reading the tea leaves here. But it's interesting the fact that if everything is moving to as a service model and proliferation and utilization of Azure is growing exponentially every year, what does that mean for server? Still needed, 100%. It's a big deal to have on-premise data requirements because a lot of organizations have that requirement in play. But how is that going to differentiate in 2016 in terms of server as a service, if that does come into play? We're not saying that's coming into play. We're just guessing right now. But in speculating for 2016, if this was to occur, how would this enable organizations further? How will this enable developers to extend their creativity and their solutions further in terms of that enablement? We know it's a mobile world, right? 5 years ago, the mobile devices surpassed desktop devices for internet access. Now, less than a year ago, for computing power, mobile devices have surpassed desktop devices, right? So where are we going to go from that in terms of that enablement, and how will the back-end infrastructure software that's being offered in 2016 further enable this, but not relinquish on security?
Again, so we come back to how Azure is developing stuff like that. So this year, adding on machine learning, that was a big deal. Still is a big deal. And I realize it's a little bit of a learning curve for people to come up to it, but there's a ton of stuff that can happen with that. There's other things like the SQL data warehouse. That was another big thing too, right? Kind of goes towards what you were saying in terms of developer creativity, but also in terms of how you manage the infrastructure and all that kind of stuff. What else? Like, my notes are like literally going all over the place because there's so much of it. Well, no, that's the beauty of doing this stuff without a script. We could just talk and...
So, to that point, in terms of SQL, while you're checking your notes there, first thing coming up... You did! You just did! You just did. So, first coming up for retirement in terms of support, SQL 2005. Coming into retirement, what's the countdown now? I think it's just under 100 days. Why is this important, right? The data tables that were utilized back in 2005 didn't take into consideration the requirement for data access through mobility, through through Azure, in terms of its connectivity. It's the old adage, if you have a brand new car, you're not going to put an old engine in a brand new car. You see the reverse, right? So that whole enablement capability of what's required for data access is no longer tangible in SQL 2005. We've heard a multitude of horror stories from IT pros that are still trying to support this platform, running it on older servers. So we're talking, I still hear Server 2000 in play. And that's a scary piece too, because not only does the evolution of data access happen, but also the evolution of attacks. And so if you're still running on hardware that's not, software and services that are no longer supported, you're more susceptible to attacks. That's going to grow. You know, 2016 is going to be another benchmark year for attacks that happen. A lot of organizations got to be prepared. If you're still on SQL 2005, do look at, start planning for a migration to a newer offering.
Awesome. Found your notes? You found the notes?
It has nothing to do with the notes. For the record, I just want to point that out there, that this is just because there's so many things, not because I'm losing my mind, even though it is that time of the year where everyone's kind of getting a little tired, and myself included. So I was going to say, in terms of what you were saying, that old engine or the new engine, old car, so on and so forth, especially with all the updates that have been done to SQL on Azure, right? That's all of that kind of stuff is really stuff to think about, both in terms of whether you're using on-premise databases or not. So that's issue number one. If you are, then listen to what Anthony said and make sure that you're upgrading accordingly. But if you're thinking, well, maybe it's time to start bringing that up into the cloud, then with all the different enhancements that were done to the SQL offering in Azure, now it's kind of like, well, that a lot of times developers were saying that there's a bridge or a gap in terms of features or performance and stuff like that. A lot of that has actually gone away now, right? And so as you're kind of thinking about, hey, how do I go about my applications in 2016, and especially if you have the issue of what Anthony was talking about, where you have to retire SQL Server 2005, I'm all like, 2016, no, then that's an option, right? So there's a lot of work that's been done to bridge that gap.
All right, awesome. Anything to add, Anthony?
Well,
oh, that's a new thing, so yeah.
So let's talk about DevOps, right? So let's talk about it. DevOps has been a underlying message that's being pushed forward by a lot of companies out there. What's been interesting is that we're seeing job descriptions now saying DevOps experience. What I want to make sure that everybody is aware of out there is that DevOps is a process. It's not an end goal. right? It is to the advantage of an organization that adopts a DevOps process in terms of its enablement of the developers and IT pros amidst an organization to quicken the process in creating solutions, both from an infrastructure standpoint, cloud standpoint, development standpoint, what have you. Don't think of it as an end goal. Don't think of it as I'm trying to accomplish DevOps. The conversation started in 2015. I think it's going to flourish in 2016. And then by 2017, it's going to be normal practice. It's going to be something that everybody is taking advantage of in terms of their organization. We can't wait for Julian to start. I think he starts as soon. And he'll be traveling across the country delivering hackathons. I've had the honor of delivering two DevOps hackathons. And it's been interesting just in the simple premise of having developers and IT professionals talk. You know, the whole aspect that, dude, this mic is going to hit me soon. What are you doing? You're attacking me with a mic.
That was like a mic attack.
There you go. So you have the situation now where, oh my God, you have developers and IT pros talking to each other. It's like this big revelation that's happening right now. And it was a big issue before because developers would code information, code solutions, and then throw it over the wall to IT pros, right? And then IT pros try to catch it. Oh, but they didn't test this nuance in the infrastructure, and it fails. And then what happens? Whose fault is it when it goes down? You're laughing. I know you're laughing. Exactly. Developer's fault. No. Yeah, this pointing of fingers, right? So we're starting to see now this uptake of DevOps in terms of a best practice to make an organization a lot more efficient in terms of its processes. Because the end goal for both IT pro and developer is to enable the organization they support. Because when that organization is enabled, they become more proficient at delivering solutions or enabling their customers, which means they become more profitable, which means they get bigger in size, which means that that IT pro and that developer gets more responsibilities, advances their career. It's a great cycle to be in, right? So we're seeing that journey start in 2015. We will see it flourish in 2016. We'll see much more adoption of this type of process in the midst of a lot of organizations. I'm just happy that, you know, IT pro and developer are talking. We're on the same videos.
You saw it like videotape. We have the relationship, the handshake, yeah.
No, I mean, the truth is, the funny part is I brought up DevOps just because it was a very simple plug or a shameless plug for the breakpoint that you did with Paul and I to talk about DevOps. So that happened in 2015. I got to throw it out there. But also there was a couple of episodes that we did in Breakpoint. We'll have the links for you below as well. Where, to your point, is that DevOps is a process. Yes, there are tools that enable it, and everybody that goes in and says, because I've had a chance to talk to several developers. They're like, we need to figure out this DevOps tooling. I'm like, there's no such thing as DevOps tooling. There are things that enable that kind of stuff. So, we'll have the links for you for Breakpoint on there, just so that you can see. Paul and I have gone through a couple of different. So we did the episode with Anthony where we talked about the process, and then we did also the tooling version of that, so that you can see release management, you can see all the testing, you can see how all of this stuff kind of falls through. So, just putting it out there that as your organizations are asking you to think about DevOps, just remember it's process, people, and the tools. It's not one of the three.
So also in that same equation, the business decision maker, the person who writes the checks, we forget about that. We forget about that all the time, right? It's an important thing. You know, they're the ones that are mandating, this is what needs to be done on behalf of the organization. Make it so, right? This is the situation that we're in right now, and we forget about that. You know, IT pros for a long time, it's like, okay, I know what's best for my organization. I'm going to deploy X developers. Oh, I'm just going to extend my creativity. I don't need to listen to anybody. You know, do Y. And now with DevOps, we have X and Y coming together and having a common goal. But we forget about why we do it, you know, who we're doing it for. We're doing it for the end users. We're doing it for the guys who sign off on the checks or the girls that sign off on the checks. We're doing it on behalf of the organization. The ideas put forth, and I'm not saying that developers and IT pros shouldn't put their ideas forth, 100%. But it should be a collaborative effort between all three. Do you incorporate the business into your DevOps processes in terms of what you're trying to enable? Because IT pro doesn't have all the answers, developers don't have all the answers. You have to have the mix of the three in terms of what's the best enablement for the organization that you guys support.
Right, awesome. Yes. So if you work together, you'll achieve something bigger,
you know,
and greater. Yeah.
What an idea.
Yeah, amazing.
I feel like this is like one of those hugging moments.
I know.
All right. What else do we have? 2016. Any other highlights? some big things that happened.
2016 is going to be, you know, an interesting year in terms of server, right? So we find out what actually happens in server. We're currently on technical preview 4 in terms of server, and a lot of people are excited about the capabilities that Hyper-V is being made available. We're talking Hyper-V inception in terms of the platform of 2016. I'm interested to see how much more in terms of the enablement of cloud adoption 2016 will proliferate amidst organizations. And I'm interested to see how Azure Active Directory in terms of identity management will continue to flourish. We're already talking Azure Active Directory as a service. So negating the need for an on-prem AD at all. And what a great enablement in terms, especially in terms of IoT and mobile devices that don't have the processing power that you would have on a desktop, to have a seamless, quick, and secure way to invoke technology and to access data from the cloud. The other aspect to that, you know, the announcement that was made late 2015, which will come to fruition in 2016, is the whole mobile application management. Bring us whatever device you have, doesn't have to be secured or controlled by a mobile device management suite. We have the enablement now to safeguard the applications and the data and empower developers with the API stack and the certificates made available to natively secure said applications for utilization of identity management, so that even if a device is jailbroken or rooted, the application is still secure to that individual's identity. That could be even done through biometrics with Windows Hello for that secure access by an end user from the devices that they deem fit and don't have to necessarily be governed by the IT pro. So this is the true BYOD scenario now, where the device is not even secured or encrypted or managed by IT, but the data and the applications that are on there do and are fully controlled by IT.
All right.
That was way more eloquent than I was going to go for. Okay, 2016, for me.
Predictions.
I'm not going to do predictions.
What are you going to do?
I'm just going to say what I'm excited for. So a couple of things. For whatever reason, anyway.
Although on this video, I have a small chair for some reason. But it's okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. As I was saying.
Anything to say back?
For 2016, so for me, it's a couple of things. One is to see where these wearables go, so where band goes, and IoT and all the smaller devices, to me is fascinating, because I find as developers, we're getting more creative in terms of, like, obviously the hardware that we're working with brings on opportunities that we couldn't fathom before, right? Like, I still go back to this phone that's behind me. It's connected to the display dock into a screen with USB ports. Like, hello, that's my phone. You know what I mean? Like, that was not there before. And so it's almost like I want to challenge you guys as developers to be like, well, how do we use that, right? And how do we use that for interesting things, not just I can play my movie, great, use it literally, like actually just challenge yourself. Same thing with the band, right? A lot of times, and now granted, Microsoft has a part in this, in that we kind of look at the band as it's a fitness thing, it's a live healthier thing, but with 11 sensors on the band, we could do a lot more than just do healthy things, right? There's a lot of medical stuff that can be done, there's a lot of life stuff that can be done, or just cool things in general. Like, I'm waiting for mine to come so I can play around with, even think about business ideas other than, I could check my email.
Can I quickly interject?
Yes.
I actually want to pose a challenge out there for developers. Yes. So here's the thing. We talk about, you know, the sensors on Ben and what you're able to capture in terms of your walking and your heart rate and what have you. Here's the open challenge I'm going to put out there, because I like the fact that you brought up gaming. I want to see Ben incorporated in traditional gaming. I'm not talking about let's incorporate Kinect and Band. I wanted to incorporate, you know, we talk about a problem that's out there where kids are immobile. They're sitting on the chair. They're playing a game. How do we incorporate the heart rate of that individual playing that game in a traditional sense, right? So the example that I give, I'm a big NHL fan. You know, my Maple Leafs will one day win the cup, hopefully in my lifetime. That's debatable. You have the scenario where, you know, you get excited while you're playing NHL 2016. What about if when your heart rate goes up, your player skates faster? And then to further enable this, that gets the player out of their chair, maybe running on the spot, maybe jumping up and down, doing something to excite themselves, to get them more, you know, their heart rate racing so that their guy is actually skating faster. Imagine incorporating that type of capability in terms of the biometric read that we get from these devices into traditional gaming. So we're not talking Kinect, we're not talking, you know, a sensor motion in terms of a game where, like, you know, which I'm hoping that Kinect Boxing does come back, because I still have the title from yonder year. I have to throw that. I'm reminiscing. We won't say the event that was at, but which has been retired and is not coming back. But you have a scenario now where this enablement of sensors being brought forth and capturing this information can be incorporated into traditional computing, can be incorporated into traditional gaming for the greater good, to get people off the chairs, to get them more excited about the games that they play. So I'm posting that challenge out there. I want to see that incorporation into games. I want to see that excitement. It could be even, you know, a scary game. So you're a haunted house and you're, you know, there's so many zombie games that are out there. If you can incorporate the heart rate of how scared you are while you're playing this game, can you imagine the possibilities and the third dimensional capabilities of that type of information being captured while you're playing that game? It's great.
Yeah.
Or, okay, fine. So now let's go in addition to that, right? So we talked about Ben. What about all of the new cameras that are coming out that technically are for Windows Hello or incorporating Windows Hello, but those cameras can do fascinating things, right? So again, it goes back to me, 2016 for developers is like year of discovery. Now, granted, every year is a year of discovery, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I think it's time to start using technology like out of the box. Like, let's think about things differently. Or just one last example with the band. What about if we don't think about band for health and we don't think about it for gaming, what are the business apps that can benefit from something on your arm, right? Anyway, just pointing it out there, or just putting it out there that I don't want to make predictions. I don't want to say anything like that. My thing for you guys as you're thinking about 2016 is just challenge the status quo. Just like, you know what? Like, yes, you do your development of your existing stuff, but wouldn't it be fun if we just did something different? So I'm going to leave it at that.
Anything else?
Before Anthony steals the mic, but no.
Thanks.
No, I will end it off with saying, you've heard a lot from us, so now it's actually your turn. And you know, take the opportunity to comment at the bottom of the video. What were some of the highlights for 2015 for you? And more importantly, what are you looking for in 2016? We'd love to see that. We'd love to share it out with the rest of the ecosystem as well. We'd love to share it with the rest of the community. So we want to hear from you.
All right.
Let us know if this video, you know, should continue on a monthly basis. I think this format in terms of, hey, IT pro and developer talking together and Lacho attacking me with this mic, in regards to, you know, it's a great conversation. And you know, and if there's you want to see this continue on, post it in the comments below and let us know what you'd like us to talk about too, right? Because we do this show, we do what we do every day for you, right? For our audience. We do this for you guys to enable, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. If you're trying to grow yourself in your career from a developer standpoint, if you want to start coding on new tools, if you want to explore IoT, which is going to be a big play in 2016 as well, if you want to explore big data, if you want to enable enablement of the cloud, if you want to learn DevOps practices, if you want to see this type of information made available to you, you know, we have two great platforms that we currently work for, we work for Microsoft, we write for, you know, the Canadian Developer, and Ken IT Pro. And so, you know, putting our heads together and having a video series like this from a, you know, going on in terms of the input being provided by the audience, I think it's a good thing.
It was a great conversation, a great debate, if you will. I want to see the handshake again. And
debate? I think you mean debate is collaboration.
Collaboration.
It was everything. Happy holidays, yeah.
Happy New Year.
New Year.
Have a rocky New Year, yeah.
Awesome.
Till 2016. Signing off.
See everyone.
Ciao.